To feel his presence, to see him move in our hearts and in our lives, there's no greater thing than the power of God and what he can and cannot can do in our hearts and in our lives. Praise God. We do want to welcome everyone here. We do want to welcome all people that are watching through Facebook. We have people that are watching through Facebook this morning and to the sermon and just hearing the word of God. So we do want to welcome all those that are listening and watching. And we pray the anointing and the presence of God to be upon them and it be upon us this morning. Amen. If you would, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 5, please. Genesis chapter 5. My God, that cannot be true, what I'm looking at. It cannot be 1104. Oh, my God. You're right. Turn it around, please. Somebody, Ron, get up there and turn it around, please. No, it should be 1004. Huh? That hour ahead. Amen. Praise God. Praise God, Joel. Last week we talked about the Spirit of the Lord, how the Spirit of God moved in at Azusa Street. We talked about how through the dark ages how the Spirit of God was not moving at all for hundreds and hundreds of years. People were not getting saved. People were not being filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's why they call it the dark ages of the church, you know, because that nothing was happening. Not that God didn't want it to happen, not that God didn't want to pour out his Spirit, but he was waiting on a people that would humble themselves, seek his face, would live a pure life before him, and he could use. And in here we see the early 1900s, the power of God came in and moved upon children, college-age kids in Topeka, Kansas. And then we see the power of God moving in California at Azusa Street in an old barn that they rented out. And we talked about miracles of the power of God, how God moved people. And let me tell you, there was a prophecy that came forth, and I know I said this last week, my brother Seymour, that in 100 years that the power of God would move beyond what he had seen. And let me tell you, they saw a lot of great miracles. And that prophecy came in around 1910 or so, 1910, 11, 12, 13. And he said in at least 100 or so years, the power of God would move upon the earth greater than he had moved at Azusa Street. And you can read books. You can go online on your computer and you can read what the power of God did, what God did mightily, mightily upon the earth. And God's still wanting to move mightily upon the earth today. And we just need to humble ourselves and let the Spirit of God move. Let the Spirit of God move upon the earth. It says in the last days that he will what? Pour out his Spirit upon the earth. Pour out his Spirit for the church, the body of Christ, and pour out his Spirit upon unbelievers. Praise God. Praise God. And you see, God can't look to unbelievers, you know, to bring the power of God upon the planet earth. He has to look to his people. He has to look to them in order to bring the power of God to be manifested upon the earth like we've never seen before. It takes a dedicated life of prayer and seeking God and saying, God, there's no other way, no other way, but by a move and by the Spirit of God being moved upon the earth. That's what we need. Here we see in the Old Testament an outpouring of the Spirit of God like probably we've never seen before. And then we saw in the New Testament how Jesus' mighty miracles flowed through him and through his disciples. The power and the presence of God. Well, let me tell you, it's no different today. no different today. As we are seeking God, not so much for the manifested power, but seeking Him for who He is. And as we worship and we praise Him and we honor Him, the Spirit of God will come in. The Spirit of God, where He is lifted up, it says that He will draw all men unto Him. We need to be a church that lifts up Jesus and not a denomination, not a building, none of that stuff. But a church that will lift up Jesus, that will magnify His name, that will worship Him, that will praise Him. And as we go on our daily work and jobs and daily life, that we're looking to Him. We're looking to Him and Him only. That no one else. No one else. And our eyes, when we do that, let me tell you, it keeps our eyes off of mankind. And it keeps our eyes upon Him. Keeps our eyes upon Him. And that's what we need. We need a mighty move of God, people. You need to seek God in the morning. You need to seek God at the noontime. You need to seek God at night. We need, I prayed, I said, Lord, I need some people that will seek You with all their hearts, Lord God, for a mighty move of Your Spirit so that the power of God can be shown through this world, that they can see what Jesus can do. They can see what the Holy Spirit can do so that they can see what our Father can do, that He is the great God Jehovah that created this earth. It just wasn't a big bang thing that happened. He created this earth. He moved with His power. He breathed upon the earth, and the Spirit of God came upon this place. And He created everything upon this earth by speaking it forth. Praise God. Praise God. And the God that lives forever lives in us today. Praise God. But He moved mightily in the Old Testament. I want to read in Genesis chapter 5. It says in verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. A miracle, people. A miracle. You tell the world this, that, hey, that Enoch didn't die. He was just doing his daily walking, doing whatever he was doing that day. And the mercy of God came and just took him. You know what happened? That's the Old Testament rapture of this one man. He had, at 65, something changed in his life. And for over 300 years, because he lived to be 365 years. At 65 years of age, something happened on the inside of him. He gave his life to the Lord. The power of God moved. And it says that this man pleased God. What if God would say that about you or us as collectively as a church, that we pleased Him? We pleased Him. We know as the prophecy came forth, it says that He's coming soon, people. That doesn't mean we stop everything. We live like we live. We need to plan like He's coming in 100 years and plan like He's coming tomorrow or today. We need to live our lives. But let me tell you, God had mercy upon this man, Enoch, because he pleased God. God had mercy because it says that the deluge would come when Methuselah, his son, would die. And the deluge was what? The flood of Noah. And God had mercy, and God took him out before the deluge of the flood that would come. That's just like our God. God says that He will come, that He's going to split those eastern skies. And it says the trumpet of God will blow, and He will come. He will come for His people. We need to be ready. We need to do the work of the ministry. We need to keep sharing the gospel, no matter what. No matter what, no matter what people say, that we keep sharing the gospel and giving out what God wants to the people. Because he's coming. And I know sometimes we think, well, you know, everybody will make it. No. The only ones that will make it into heaven who is the ones that have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Because it says that Jesus says, I will spew you out of my mouth. You either be hot or cold. But if you're lukewarm, God says that he will spew us out. That means it makes him sick. That means we, and you might say, well, how do I stay hot before God? You just keep your faith and trust in Christ no matter what. You keep your faith and trust in Christ and you're hot before God because that's where God says to. When you get up in the morning, you say, Lord, I put my faith and trust in you and no one else. And for this day, I am dedicated to the things of God. I want you to work in me and through me and help me to accomplish your will upon the earth. It says that Enoch walked with God. He pleased God. And after he had begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Can you imagine? He turned to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Hebrews 11, 5. Look at this. Amazing, amazing, amazing. This happened in the Old Testament. The amazing power of our God. The church has been lulled down to believe that, yes, God can do it all things, but yet maybe we shouldn't expect it today. Now, we were talking to someone a while back, and they were saying, why aren't we seeing what happened in the Old Testament? What happened when Jesus was here? And I said, I know it. I know it. Why aren't we seeing people, the blinded eyes open? Why aren't we seeing limbs growing out? Why aren't we seeing the power of God like we've never seen before? It's not that God has changed, has he? He's the same, yesterday, today, and forever. What he did back then, he said he wants to do today. What he did 100 years ago, he wants to outdo today. God wants to move. God says for us to humble ourselves before him and let him move. Let him use us. There should be an expectancy. Just coming today, I said, Lord, I expect you to move. I expect you to move upon the people. I expect you to encourage your people, heal your people, help your people, people to be saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, moved by the power of God. We should expect God in every aspect of our lives, expecting him to move, as Otis had shared one day. I remember that. Expectancy. My God. No telling what could happen today. As you're driving home from church, people, what could happen during the night as God, the Holy Spirit, moves upon the church? Godly dreams coming upon God's people. Godly visions coming upon God's people. The power of God like we've never seen before. All he's looking for is a humble people that will believe him and believe that he can really do it. Do you really believe God can save your children? Do you really believe that God can take your children out of sin and evil? Do you really believe that God can move upon your husband or your wife and change their lives? Do you really believe it? Amen. Let God move. Do we really believe God can change us and make us into the people that he desires and wants us to be? God says for us to lay down our lives before the throne. And let the Spirit of God move in. It says this in Genesis chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Or before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Can you imagine, people? Now, Enoch at 65, something changed in his life and he started pleasing God. He surrendered to the God of the universe. He surrendered to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And for 300 years, that's a long time, live for God. It doesn't mean his children did. You can see. But he did. And God moved, and God did mighty things, and God chose this man. And can you imagine at the day of 365, he was 365 years of age when he died. At 365, sometime in that year, he gets up in the morning and starts walking and doing his daily stuff, worshiping God, pleasing God, and just doing his daily activities. And all of a sudden, he's swept away by the Spirit of God. He's just walking along doing what he was supposed to do every day. And God chose him to take him out of the world, to rapture him, the catching away, the caught up, and take him into heaven where he never died an earthly death. And we know in the end time that he will be one of the witnesses that will testify of God in Jerusalem at the wall for 3.5 days. And they will die, and God will raise him back up, him and Elijah. The power of God, people, that's the power of God that can come in and change a life all of a sudden. That's the power of God that can change your life. He can change an alcoholic's life. He can change a person that smokes cigarettes. God can change evil and make it into good. That's the kind of God we serve that can take a life wrecking and abused with sin and evil and change their lives. That's the power of God. Enoch, please God, was walking around doing what he was supposed to do. And God said, today is the day. We don't know when victory will come, but it could be today. It could be tomorrow that God brings victory in your personal life, or God brings victory in your spouse's life, or God brings victory in your son or daughter's life, or other family member. Yes. We cannot give up. We cannot give up. We got to hold on to the horns of the throne of God and say, Father, move. Father, move. Father, move. I believe your word and I stand upon it. That's the power of our God that can change a life for 65 years that didn't serve him, and come out at 365 pleasing God and snatched away from the earth into heaven without ever seeing a physical death. That's the power of God. That's the anointing of God. And God wants to do the same for you. Miracles, signs, and wonders of our God. The power and the presence of God. I know I've shared this story before. You remember Polycarp? Not the one that was in Baton Rouge. Polycarp lived during John the Baptist's time. That's the only Polycarp I knew at the time. When they said that on that, the preacher said that, I said, oh my God, who? But this guy was a God. John the Baptist had put him in charge of the Cyrenian church. This man loved God and did everything he could to serve God. Read the scriptures, prayed, honored God, and one day, the religious leaders could not stand him because he stood up for the things of God, people. And they went into this house and they took him out of his house. He was kind of limp. He was old. They took him. They took him to this big arena. They brought him in. And they had wood that they had stacked for a fire. These people were so angry with Christians and hated Christians that when they decided to do this to him, they went out and pulled off wood off of homes, pulled off wood off of anything they could find to build this fire. And they stacked this fire, and they took Polycarp, which was a bishop, which means preacher. They took him and they put him against that fire on the inside. And they lit it. And they revved and raged and praised their God. And they look in that fire, people, the power of God. And they're saying, he's not being burnt up. The power of God, people. He's inside where the fire is, and the wood is around about him because they put him in. And they tied him up. And they lit it. And all they could see from the inside was a glow of the Spirit of God. That's the fire of God. And I said, my God, what's happening? He's not being burnt up. I mean, they were praising their God and just happy, happy, happy of thousands of people in this arena. But yet, nothing was happening. The presence of our God. They got so upset, they let the fire go, they took him out. And what they did was, they took a spear and jabbed it into his side and let his blood flow out, and he died. You might say, well, why didn't God stop it? I don't know. But they saw the power of our Father as his son, Polycarp, was in there, and the fire could not destroy him. That's the power of our God, people. You might say, well, why are you telling us these stories? Because I want to build your faith to believe God, that he can do anything, people. Anything. In this book that I have read, this guy came in to Azusa Street Revival, and it says that he had throat cancer. I mean, you know, if you ever known anybody with throat cancer, it's severe and it just eats everything away. And they said as he walked in, they could see that his neck was all black because it was eaten up. Couldn't speak, couldn't say a word. Walked in, and one of the men came and said, you need prayer. And he just kind of nodded because he couldn't speak. And they figured out it was throat cancer. And so he said, well, let's pray and believe God. The man put his hand on that man's throat and prayed. When he took his hand off, nothing happened. And so the guy that was praying for him said, are you believing God? He said, let's pray again and believe God. He put his hand again and he prayed. And all of a sudden, when he took his hand off, it was not black anymore. It was the color of his skin. And the man said, can you speak? And the guy blurted out, I can't. And he said, but you can. The power of God healed that man. The power of God healed that man. The power of God healed that man. People, we're living in a day where God is flooding out his Spirit and healing people and moving and transferring people and doing mighty miracles, delivering them from sin, doing mighty miracles in their bodies, doing mighty miracles in their minds, doing mighty miracles, the power and the presence of our God. And we need to let God move like he wants to move. He's looking for a people where he can manifest his power, where people could see it, where people will yield their lives to him. And they say, look, not my will, but your will be done, Father, in this place. And letting him move like he wants to move. There was another young girl that came up for prayer. And there was an elderly lady there that loved to pray with children. She went up to her and she had braces upon her legs. She couldn't walk without the braces. She had no feeling. She couldn't do it. So the little girl came and the lady said, you need prayer for your legs? And she said, yes, I've been prayed before at other places and nothing happened. Well, she said, today you will leave healed. That's how confident they were in their God, people. And we need to be confident in our God. Confident in him that he will move like he wants to move. And so the lady said, look, let's take off your braces. And the little girl was hesitant at first, Well, she said, we need to take them off so you can walk when God heals you without them. So they took them off, and the lady gave them to someone else and said, go bring them way over there on the other side because I don't want her to have them. She won't need them anymore. And she said, by the way, take her mother and bring her with the braces way over there because she doesn't need her right now. And the lady started praying over her and said, Father, we come against this disability in the name of Jesus, and we speak forth healing by the name of Jesus unto her legs. And all of a sudden, the little girl says, I can feel my feet. I can feel my legs. And all of a sudden, she started to walk. She started to stomp the floor, on the floor, and even started to dance and praise her God. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. We know we're living in the last days as far as before the rapture of the church, and God is ready to pour out his spirit like we've never seen before. Like we've never seen before. That's the power of our God. That's the power of our God. That he can change all circumstances just as he changed Enoch's life. Did a mighty miracle at age 65 and lived 300 years for the glory and the power of God. I want you to turn to Jude verse 14. There's only one chapter. Jude verse 14. And it says this. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. I might say, well, what does he mean? Here we see a man prophesying, Enoch prophesying for something in the future. God not only transferred him without seeing death to heaven, but also God used this man, Enoch, to prophesy about the second coming. That means an unmeasurable amount of angels and or saints that will come back with him at the second coming of Christ. When he comes after the rapture and we there 7 years, and he comes with the saints and we're come with, and he sets his foot upon the Mount Olivet, that we will be with him. That's the second coming. The first coming was when he was born upon the earth. The second coming is when he actually sets his foot upon the earth. The rapture is not his second coming. That's the rapture of the church, because he never sets his foot. The people on the earth don't even see him at the rapture of the church. The trumpet blows and we just gone. The dead in Christ rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up with him in the air and praise God and forever be with him wherever he is. But here we see a man that God used. And people, God is looking for a woman. God is looking for a man. God is looking for a boy. God is looking for a girl to use. You might say, well, Pastor, I've messed up in the past. We all have. We've all said something, did something. Man, we could kick ourselves, huh? Hey, that's why Jesus died on the cross, for the blood to cleanse us. And what we do is we say, Lord, I surrender to you, and whatever you want to do, I will do. And we let God be God till he comes again. We let God be God and let him use us, letting him quicken our spirits, letting him show us things, and letting the manifested power of our Savior to be used through us to help the church and help unbelievers. That's the power of God that wants to move like he's never moved before upon this last days, people. Let him use you. Don't be afraid to pray with somebody. Don't be afraid to speak up. I went to the dentist's office this week. Every 6 months you got to go, you know, all that stuff. Right when I sat down, you know, I know the lady, but she just starts telling me some things about her children. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. I mean, just opened up. I mean, just, that's the power of God, people. And I said, boy, I'm sure going to be praying about that. You know, and that's before she started. And the Spirit of God said, I want you to pray with her. I said, oh, okay. So, you know, did whatever, all that stuff. And at the end, making my appointment, you know, doing. And I said, can I pray with you right now? And she looked at me and she said, yes, thank you. I said, I want to pray with you about the situation with your children. What's going on? That only God can move. And I took her hand and I said, Lord, well, here we are. And, you know, and there's a whole bunch of other people in all kind of different offices. It's all open, you know. You don't have to be all loud and hollering, but you, because God moves, because you have to be sensitive. And so took that hand and I said, let's pray. Prayed for her children. I prayed for them, her and her husband, that God would give them wisdom, that God would show them what to do. And at the end, you know, I ended it, you know, like all prayers, in Jesus' name, it is done. And she looked at me and she said, thank you. The Spirit of God moving, people. The Spirit of God moving. But you see, God, we don't know. I don't know. Maybe she was calling out to God that morning. I don't know. And God wants to show himself unto people, who he is, what he can do. And we need to allow him to move upon our hearts, upon this generation. You might be another Enoch. We might all be I hadn't thought of that. We might all be like Enoch and not see death. Praise God. Wouldn't that be great? And the power of God blows that trumpet, or the archangel, whoever blows it, blows that trumpet, and we might all be like him, just caught away, and with our Savior forever. Amen. Our God is an awesome God, people. Don't ever forget that. He can do all things. All we got to do is stay before him. The devil will say, oh man, that's just lost. There's no way God can change it. Let me tell you, it's not lost till we close our eyes and die, and that's it. Then we can't, whatever, because we can't pray anymore. But let me tell you, there's no one that's lost forever. There's nothing that God cannot do except one thing, and that's lie. He won't lie. He will stay according to his word. So you keep on praying and seeking God. And you say, Lord, move upon my children. Move upon my spouse and move upon me, because I need a mighty change. And as you're praying for all those people, don't forget to pray for your pastor that needs your prayers. I covet and need your prayers, Jelaine and I, that God would give us wisdom and show us what to do. That God would protect us and lead us and guide us. Amen. You may stand, please. I want you to put that scripture up in Numbers, Andrew. Numbers. I want to read that scripture to you as I close. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26. You got it? Look, guys, I appreciate you. Jelaine and I, we thank God for you and we love you. Amen. It says, and the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I pray that the Lord will bless you today and bless you this week. That he will keep you. He will keep you. He will not let the enemy come and sift you like wheat. The Lord will make his face shine upon you. That means you have access to him as you pray and seek God. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I pray the peace of God upon every aspect of your life. Because you see, the devil will try to disrupt your peace. But you say, Lord, you get this scripture and you say, Father, you have given me peace. And he was talking to the children of Israel, but we can claim it. We can claim it. You say, Father, I thank you for your peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth. Praise God. Father, Lord, I thank you for your people. Lord, I thank you that they are mighty warriors for the kingdom of God, that, Father, you're raising them up to do mighty exploits for the kingdom of God. Lord, work in them, work through them, and help them. Protect them, lead them, and guide them this day, that your will be done, Lord God, in their hearts and their lives. Keep them close to you, Lord. Don't let the evil one come near them, Lord, in any way. Protect them, lead them, and guide them. And Father, we give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.